Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
There is another podcast coming tomorrow.
Okay.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. And we take bringing you a podcast every Monday morning extremely seriously.
Very seriously.
We have time capsuled this particular episode. Locked it away safely, just so you have something for Monday, in the full knowledge that there will be a full podcast coming your way tomorrow. This one is all about previewing the upcoming European Champions Cup and Challenge Cup semi-finals this coming weekend. The reason we're recording this one in advance and putting it out on Monday is because these two gentlemen that I'm here with are selfishly away.
We are. So, an interesting game that we're going to play now. It's kind of the game just for me and Phil, really. Sorry about this, Tim. What will we be doing this time next week?
So this time next week now, or as you're listening to this on Monday, what were we doing 12 hours ago?
Yes.
What were we doing on Sunday?
What state will you be in when people are actually downloading this, when we upload this podcast?
So we've got a 2-day stag do to Prague.
Lovely.
A rugby stag do. So pretty much everyone there is a rugby player or rugby fan.
Yeah, ex-Lancaster rugby players, I guess.
There's a fair few of them, a few ex-Broughton Park players.
Yes, there are.
A few Leicester Grammar School rugby players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's basically a rugby stag do, which would be
Trev, Paul Davis.
Oh, lovely.
Who played at Broughton Park a little bit, and Leicester Grammar and Lancaster.
So usually when we record this, okay, so we're recording this a week earlier, so when we'd usually be recording it, we'd now be having Negronis.
we may
lots of Negronis.
We may well be having a few Negronis, maybe a few vodka martinis.
Yep.
Maybe a rye grin. Ooh. If we can source some Fernet Branca.
I'm sure we can on the continent. They're
probably
very sophisticated over there.
What do they do? Well, there must be something native to Prague that you can, you know, when in Rome.
Disgusting gassy lager.
Absinthe.
Oh, yeah.
Absinthe's French, isn't it?
It is French, but I think it's drunk a lot.
That's what Van Gogh was on when he cut his ear off, wasn't he?
Yeah, it's associated with Prague.
I'm pretty sure that I saw it advertised. But you're not allowed to drink it neat, are you? You've got to have it slightly diluted.
With water and sugar, is it?
Who knows? Well, I'm sure we'll find out, though.
Yeah.
That I can be sure.
Let us know on tomorrow's podcast.
Yep.
When you'll hear Phil and JB in nowhere near as high spirits. They'll be in high spirits in terms of their blood alcohol content, but they're probably in a very, very fragile state on tomorrow's podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you very much for bearing with us on that one. You know where to find us, at Rugby Podcast on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, all the rest of it. But here we are. So, actually, before we get into looking at the Champions Cup semi-finals and Challenge Cup semi-finals, Phil, you've prepared a little quiz.
I have.
So come on then.
It's exciting.
Just a little one. And interestingly, when I prepared it, I wasn't expecting to be doing it 1 week in the future. So there's a couple of references to, in fact, there's two references in the questions to last weekend or last week.
Okay.
So have you got pen and paper or something to write down?
Electronic device.
Okay.
Ready.
Five questions. Question number one. What was Clermont Auvergne's name until 2004?
Okay. I think I know this one. And I will be going there next weekend.
Are you?
Yes.
Lovely for the Challenge Cup semi-final.
Go on. Next.
Next question. last weekend's games, so last weekend's professional rugby, club rugby games.
Yes.
Okay.
There were three draws in top level professional rugby. What games were they? What games were their draws?
Okay, I know one.
So, how, last week,
the week that we've just had, as in
the weekend,
today,
the weekend of the 5th, 6th, 7th of April.
Correct.
Three, oh, yeah, yeah, okay, fine.
Three draws.
There were three draws. So I just want the teams, team names.
Okay.
Oh, yes! Yes.
Question number three. Which rugby player changed his name to Paddy Power as part of a sponsorship deal for the 2007 Rugby World Cup?
2007.
Okay,
got that one. Yep. Question four. A week and a half ago, as you're listening, Saracens announced a deal with Tottenham Hotspur to host 5 years worth of games at the new Tottenham Hotspur
Stadium.
I'm
looking forward to that.
I am. Very impressive.
Bottom-filled beers, apparently.
Yes, which a few places do. Who was the footballer who was alongside Brad Barrett and Alex Lazowski at the press announcement?
Okay. I don't know, but I'd be surprised if it wasn't this guy.
Yeah, I've got one in my mind.
Last one?
Finally, 3 points available. Name James Haskell's three non-premiership clubs.
Oh, easy.
Okay.
Easy.
Definitely got two.
Two's easy. Third's more difficult.
Third is a guess.
Yes, this is the tiebreaker, Tim. Unlucky, mate.
I don't know if it is the tiebreaker.
I have got a pre-prepared tiebreaker question as well. If we
okay, so that's your five questions.
Wait. Let me think about this. Okay, all right, I'll go for that one.
Okay. Number one.
Oh, yes, no, that makes sense. Yes, that makes sense.
No, it doesn't make sense. Just answer the questions.
No. Yes.
Come on.
Number one.
Yes.
Tim?
Clermont Auvergne's
were
name.
Called, what do you reckon? Because I've got it written down.
Montferrand.
Is correct. AS Montferrand is correct. So that's one all.
Not my first rodeo, Tim.
Three draws in top-level professional rugby.
I just realised how stupid the question was that I asked you, because obviously it couldn't be last week's games, as in Niall's last week's, because they haven't happened yet. Which would be a remarkably tough thing to answer, wouldn't it?
I know two that happened in the Pro 14.
Huh? Really? Okay.
Wow.
Yes. Well, I hope you know one, but you, know one you of them. Obviously don't.
Okay.
One of them, Jamie.
Benetton, Leinster.
Correct. I've got that one written down. And now yeah. I don't want him to...
No, so I'll do my next one.
Yes.
Yeah.
Racing Clermont.
I haven't got that one.
So now
I'm going to guess Cardiff.
Oh, as I've just told you, you didn't even know there was another Pro 14
Cardiff? But did you say... No. I can't have this. I didn't write it down.
No, you haven't.
And whoever played Cardiff?
It was Southern Kings Dragons.
Correct.
Oh, this is mine anyway.
So that's two points.
They drew.
Yeah, 18 all.
After wasting all that carbon to get there to an awful game, which we highlighted 2 weeks ago, they drew.
Well, neither team deserved a win. They're both losers.
Wow. What a fitting end.
Paddy Power.
Epitione
written down.
Correct.
Tongan, wasn't he?
That's
yes.
Right.
Yeah.
He played for Newcastle. Yes.
And Harlequins, and he played on the wing and flank.
Centre and flank.
Yes, and a wing flank.
Wing flank, yeah.
Yeah.
Good. Dropping Epitione knowledge bombs everywhere here.
Yeah. Okay, so that's...
Northampton you played for as
four
well.
4 points all.
Did he?
No, who was it? Newcastle and...
And Harlequins.
Harlequins, yeah, I think you're right.
Okay,
I assume it was Harry Kane. I said
Spurs footballer.
Harry Kane.
Is I know incorrect.
He was at the England game, though, wasn't he?
Who was it then?
It was Dele Alli.
Oh, that would be my second go-to.
And how many other Spurs players do you know?
Son? Is he one?
Yeah, he's one.
Alderweireld.
Oh, is it
another one? Lloris. Yeah.
Lloris.
Oh, the keeper.
Trips, Vertonghen.
Oh, yeah.
Danny Rose.
Danny Rose, as I was saying.
Big Ben Davis.
Hang on. Trippier?
I don't know any of these. I genuinely cannot remember the last full game of football I watched.
I tried to watch a game of football the other day because I really got... In my mind, I G'd myself up for it. I read about the game. It was, it might have been United-Liverpool. I read all about it. I was like, right, I'm going to really give this a go because it means so much to so many people, particularly in Manchester. There must be something to it. And then I watched it. It was absolutely dreadful. I was like, I can't watch this garbage. It's utter garbage. I'm sure you do get a good game. But do you remember the Mitchell and Webb advert?
Yeah.
Do you remember? Have you seen that?
Watch the football! Yeah. On Saturday, two teams will play. They will win, lose, or draw. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. David Webb, it's great.
The Titans of Ipswich face the Giants of Norwich. I kind of felt like that. That's how it felt like too much football.
Okay, final question. The three non-Premiership James Haskell clubs.
So are we level at the minute?
You are level. Yes. 4 points off.
I'm confident on two.
I'm confident on three, so you've got a problem, haven't you? A big problem here.
First one, Tim.
I've got them written down, so I'm not going to...
Yeah.
So Highlanders.
Correct.
Stade Francais.
Correct.
The third one, and this came as a flash. I was trying to think of the Japanese teams, and there would be a logical reason why it would be this team.
Okay.
The Black Rams.
I've got the Rioch Black Rams too.
Rico.
But they're Rico.
Yeah.
So it's like Rico, the Wasps link. So I said Rico Black Rams.
I've got Black Rams too.
All three correct.
Wow.
So.
Deathmatch.
I have prepared a final question. The final question is, I am going to Google Rupeni Thauthau weight. Oh, sorry. So the first listed weight that comes up, you've got to be closest to that.
Okay.
Now, I don't know if the first weight that comes up is going to be his 18-year-old weight or his 28-year-old weight.
Okay.
Which would be about 20 kgs.
What units do you want it in?
Kgs, please.
It's got to be kgs. So I'm going to start off. I'm going to go 124 kilograms.
We should have written them down, really, because I could just be really sly and go 123. So I'll be kind and go... I was thinking I was going around... I'll go 110.
110, okay. Here we go. So, it has given his original weight, which is 100 kilograms.
What? Rubbish!
So, what a terrible... What a King's Dragon's End, this wonderful quiz.
So, that'll be him as a 19-year-old... When he was running...
Look at his picture!
Running through...
Look at his Wikipedia picture!
Is that his final stint in Toulouse?
Yes.
Have you ever heard the story about when they went to go and find him?
In the middle of... Yeah.
Oh, my God, it's a great story. You can have to... I'm not even going to bother trying to tell it, but if you Google it and try and find when the... Who do you play for? Is it Cast?
He went to France a couple of times, didn't he?
Yeah, but where did he really make his name?
Blues, he was... No, he was amazing.
Blues, but then he went somewhere in France.
Oh, Agen.
Agen, that's it.
Agen, then Toulouse, then back to Agen.
So, the Agen president and his mates went over to Fiji. And like the trip that they took, they've obviously got to fly from France to Australia, then fly over to Fiji, then they had to trek to find him. They found him, and he was in bed with a fever because he had a dental infection. Which is why he didn't make it back. And so they brought him back to France for first thing they did for him is dental work.
Wow.
5 years ago, his player statistics were, on a deeper search, you did set the rules, it was the first search, but
yeah,
has him in age 33, so 5 years ago, as 120 kgs.
Yeah. And there's picture, I'm just looking up some pictures now of him at Toulouse, looking massive. Like Bastereau, if Bastereau lost about 5 kg.
Which is, yeah. Both the best in the world at what they did at their peak.
At their peak, yes.
Mm. All right. So before we go on, Tim, tell us all about Cornerstone.
Cornerstone, amazing mail order raisers. We absolutely love these guys and they help us make the podcast and we have got a great offer for you. So treat yourself to an incredible shave. Treat yourself to a weighty aluminium shaft with engraved initials on it, which you get for free because you listen to us. And what's more, you get 6 amazing Cornerstone razors delivered to you in a presentation box for just £4. So that aluminium shaft engraved, the German precision engineered razors sent to you, £4, less than a pint. Just give it a go. We absolutely love it. We know you will. No obligation, but we think you want to stick with Cornerstone. They are the best and the original, so stick with them. Cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. That's cornerstone.co.uk/eggchasers. Get involved.
There we go. Right, European Cup time.
Oh, my goodness. I think I prefer the quarterfinals. I think it's my favourite weekend of rugby because there's so many
games.
There's
more, yeah. But the magnitude of the matchups,
wow,
gets ever bigger.
Can I just ask, does 100 kilograms strike you as a lightweight second row?
Yes.
Yes.
16 stone, isn't it, basically?
Very lightweight.
Yeah. The Dragons went to the Southern Kings with a 16 stone second row called Max Williams.
Mm. The height they are, it's quite easy to be 16 stone when you're like 6 foot 6.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite easy. It's like your skeleton is probably 14 stone.
Manny Ross Morales is only 103, according to this, so who knows, who knows.
Ross Morales is heavier than that. Definitely. Yes.
Let's talk about the rugby rather than the weight of the worst team in the world.
Yeah.
So we've got these games are happening on Saturday. On Sunday. Yes. 3 games on Saturday, 1 on Sunday. Saracens Munster is getting us underway. From so the Rico.
3:15. So the stadium... Oh, I've got 3:15 here.
Oh, wow, interesting. Mm. You're probably right because I'm looking at the BBC, so yours will be right.
I don't know. I am actually on Wikipedia right now, so I don't know.
It's more I think I'd go with Wikipedia over BBC.
Yes.
So the stadia is interesting because there was a few complaints and we discussed it around Leinster having the Aviva Stadium.
Yeah.
There was actually earlier this year the EPRC.
Yeah, ECPR.
ECPR made a statement to say, so they've not changed the rules around picking stadia for games, but they will use their full discretion to ensure that games have an appropriate stadium, and by appropriate, they want it to have sufficient capacity, facilities, location, mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all the rest of it.
I hate this.
In the home nation, and that will include, in some instances, picking home stadia for games, including they referenced the Racing 92,
yeah.
32,000-seater
Arena.
Yeah, exactly. I hate the whinge about it. It's a good stadium. That's all that matters.
The Aviva is a great stadium. Yeah.
Yeah, just play on. It's so annoying.
There was a couple of people on
Twitter. Now they've clarified the laws that you can have it in a home stadium if you want. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's no problem.
Absolutely no issues.
It's when they were specifying that it's neutral.
Yeah.
And well, it's, well, home country, isn't it?
Yeah, home country, home got country. Neutral. But now they've said home country, and if you want it in your home stadium, do it. But Saracens are going to Coventry. Lovely day trip to Coventry for fans from northwest London.
I've got to say, like...
I think there are some engineering works on trains as well, which is making... There might have to be some nice replacement bus services. Good.
I never mentioned before, but I... Yeah, granted, it's a great stadium. It's a nice stadium. I've never been, but it looks like a nice stadium, right?
Very handy.
Very handy. But who wants to go to Coventry? Like, when we plan our weekends away, and I guess we'd be the sort of individuals they would be targeting, who just want a weekend away, go watch some good rugby, have some Negronis in, a few bars. Just, I don't want to go to Coventry. I do not want to go. No part of me wants to go to Coventry for any reason. I'd love to watch the game, but send us a good city, Bristol.
Well,
anywhere
stadiums that are in towns are very difficult to come by, but they're the best ones.
Yeah, I mean Ashton Gate would be fine.
It's a very handy stadium to get in and out of. It's good when it's full. But
do you know what? You sound like a middle-aged woman picking a car.
Exactly. I was going to say, you can't have a day out. You wouldn't go for a day out at the
Rico. I mean, yes, it's a people carrier, but it's very easy to get in and out. Exactly. Get shopping
100%,
in.
Exactly.
No, you want a Porsche.
Well, that's the Rico. The people carrier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fit lots in it, practical, but not.
It doesn't really excite you, does it?
It doesn't.
It's not exciting.
No. Nevertheless, the game does.
Yes.
Saracens Munster, although... I think this is going to be the most one-sided of the games.
I think they're both going to be one-sided, to be fair. But, yeah, I can't see Munster putting up that much of a fight again. I mean, it'll be spirited.
How do you beat Saracen? Oh, that's the one thing that Munster will have is spirit.
Spirit, yeah, sure. Yeah. But you're going to get you so far.
I don't know.
They'll have more fans. It'll be like a home game.
Yeah, I see that. I don't think this is over just yet. I think Munster, the way they play, so it's not about the flashy stuff, although they can do it. They've got some very good outside backs. It's about the hard work and the cohesiveness and the coaching behind, particularly that pack, but that whole team as a defensive unit. Mm. So they will really compete with Saracens up front. Their line-out work is exceptional with Ty Burn and Peter O'Mahony.
The line-out work for Munster is brilliant. I've always admired the line-out.
But their scrum is very good. If they get a referee who allows them to compete the way that they want to compete at the breakdown, they will really disrupt and hurt Saracens. So I don't think this is over. I think Saracens are heavy favourites. It's not a foregone conclusion in my mind.
It is for me. And I think you're right in what you say. Set piece can be competitive. Lots of teams can be. In fact, I'll go one further. Saracens aren't actually that good at scrimmaging.
Their scrimmaging is not great. They do get found out. I mean,
it's good enough.
Was this the semi-final last year as well, wasn't it? No. Hold on. This was
because Saracens got knocked out by Leinster.
Oh, of course they did. No, this was the semi-final between the two, maybe 2 years ago.
Anyway,
I remember it was.
The problem Munster are going to have isn't a set piece. It's going to be the sheer power of that running game. Now, of late, Itoje seems to have gone up a few more gears. His carrying ball in hand has been superb.
George Cruz has been brilliant. So we've got Kritoji.
Yeah, I mean, they are looking like they're at their Lions' best again. I mean, they're really looking very good. And then, you know, I assume that Billy will be playing, and then Mako will be playing, and then Jamie George will be playing.
Mako won't, will he? Or will he?
I assume he will. I assume he'll be fit.
Is he back now?
Yeah, well, he should be. I can't see it. I just can't see it. Outside of maybe shading the line-out by 5%, where can Munster win this?
So, as I said, I think in all of the upfront work, I think they can get parity.
All of it?
Pretty much all of it.
What, around the park?
No, the upfront. So
just your
forward, your set piece, and your close quarter stuff.
Okay.
And if they can get their way at the breakdown, which Omani and I can't remember the name of the seven who played against Edinburgh, young seven who's just come back off a knee injury.
Not Clarty.
No, young Irish seven. And if Ty Burn, if they're allowed to do what they want to, they can completely disrupt. They can get good ball for Carberry and Murray. And if they get good, clean ball and their kicking game is on point, Munster have got a chance. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but I don't think it's a foregone conclusion.
And they make a mockery of form, books and momentum and all these things. They're just one team that just throws spanners in works.
Back in the day, you would have said, "Oh, Munster's got that Munster magic in Europe. It's Europe where they come good." But actually, I kind of give that moniker to Saracens now. I don't think Saracens are going to struggle. In fact, here you go, Saracens by more than 10 points. Having said that, I've seen what they did this year to Exeter. So let's wait and see.
Well, just for the. I know I'm not going to go through the rigmarole of doing a combined 15. That's not what I'm getting at. But just which Munster players would you plonk into a Saracens team? So if I run through the team that played against...
Colin Murray.
Running the team that played against Edinburgh, CJ Stander, he'd probably... would he go in your back row?
Not over Billy.
Not, he wouldn't start at eight, but I'd have him in there.
You'd have to have him in there. Yeah, you'd have him in the back.
Six or...
Yeah, so CJ Stander would get in your Saracens back row. Ty Burn in one of the lock spots.
He'd probably be on the bench. No, he wouldn't be.
No.
He'd be on the bench.
He might get in the back row.
Or you push Itoje to six.
Well, because you've got Peter O'Mahony.
So
you probably. My point being is you've probably got two. O'Donoghue, is that the guy you were thinking of?
The young Irish seven. Yeah.
But you've got. So Stander and O'Mahony. If you had everyone available, they'd probably start for Saracens. So that's
might so the, sort of Saracens.
So they could do a number on them. Right,
I don't. I just don't see it. Just don't see it. Saracens are too good.
Well, maybe not in the back row.
Right, 10 points, more or less than 10 points. Anyone saying Munster win?
I'm not saying Munster win. I'm saying Saracens by 5.
Tim?
I'm saying Saracens by 8.
There you
go. I could see it. But would you have any of the backs in? Conor Murray, you'd have in at 9?
Yeah, yes.
But other than that, I'm not sure you would. Earls?
Nope.
Scannell, Farrell, nope. Sweetenham, so, Conway?
Nope. I would have one of Scannell or Farrell, probably Scannell.
With Barrett being out as well.
He is out, isn't he? Do we know how long for?
I think he's definitely out for this.
That might make me think differently about everything.
Everything.
Everything, yeah, literally. Everything. Everything. Everything has changed now. And I'll tell you why. Because this brings in Bado in Farrell.
Well, no, but listen, here's where Munster win. Right,
oh God.
If they win. Tadhg Byrne, Peter Omani at the breakdown, slowing ball down for Saracens. And when Saracens are a bit slow, they go predictable, they can get hit behind the gain line. Billy or Mako can't be as big a weapon as they are.
Oh my God, and now Farrell's getting angry. He's getting really angry. He can't control his shoulders or his tackle height. And now they're making inroads throughout 12 Channel, because who'll be there? Tompkins or?
Tompkins played 12 this weekend.
He's just given away a few too many yards. He's making the tackles. Next thing you know, high shot from Farrell. Boom, red card. Munster in the ascendancy.
Whose invisibility cloak is stronger? Owen Farrell's high shot invisibility cloak or Peter Omani at the breakdown?
Peter Omani, 100%.
But when they collide, they can both be seen. I do not know.
What I think is really fascinating about this game is both sides like not having the ball.
Yeah, they're both comfortable in D.
So how's that going to play out?
This is far closer than I originally thought it was. Give me... No Brad Barrett, give me Munster by 2.
I am still saying Saracens by 5.
Munster by 2.
It will be... I think Munster will be right in it until 60, 65 minutes, and then Saracens empty their bench, their players are getting stronger. So, yeah. Tim, any advance?
No, I'm still going to go Saracens narrowly, but by 7, but between 5 and 8. But I think it's going to be really interesting. And as I say, both sides like not having the ball. Whoever wins that aerial territorial battle is going to be massive. And if Munster can slow Saracens down so they can't play, game on.
Oh, don't fancy it now. Don't fancy it now.
Small details or big surfaces. Tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Anyway, should we do a European Challenge Cup game before we go back into the big boy one?
Yeah, let's do the two of them.
Yeah.
So 5:30 is the time that I've got for La Rochelle hosting your beloved Sale.
My beloved Sale, Benetton is my beloved team. But I might even be able to go to this. I don't know yet. We will see.
Sale like playing in France. They have a good record playing in France.
They do actually. They've had a few unfortunate
losses. They beat Bordeaux
losses.
There.
Beat Bordeaux. They should have beat Lyon there, except for some ridiculous refereeing.
And La Rochelle have been in this position before. A couple of years ago, they were in a semi-final, the Challenge Cup, Scarlets. Against Gloucester and lost.
Oh, sorry, I thought it was semi-final. No, they weren't. Quarter-final.
Quarter-final of the Champions Cup last year.
Yeah.
The year before that, semi-final at home against Gloucester and lost.
Here's where I stand on this, which is La Rochelle are a big old unit. particularly up front. And they've got, oh, who is the huge tight head?
Uini Antonio.
Yes.
No, okay, sorry, the huge loose head. Yes. You are right, Antonio is huge.
Oh, yes, what's his name?
But there's another guy who I think is really impressive.
Oh, yes.
And his name's just escaped me now.
Danny Prezzo.
This guy's a beast, right? So they're very good up front.
Victor Vito, number 8. Hello.
Yeah, they're all pretty handy.
I honestly reckon Victor Vito and maybe one of their locks, you put them in the Sale team and Sale are guaranteed top 4 in the Premiership.
Vito and one of their locks, like Jason Eaton, is he still there?
No, I don't know if he is still there. But he's...
So I actually think that they might underestimate Sale in scrimmaging because they get their way so frequently. I think Sale can stand up some in the scrum. They'll stand up well to them in the scrum, much like they did to Toulon a few years ago. And then it's down to the backs. Now, La Rochelle play wonderful rugby and they're very difficult to stop. But so do Sale when they're going forward. I think there's going to be a lot of tries in this. And I think it's a team that loses their nerve first that will lose.
So who's going to lose their nerve first?
I'm going to have to say I fancy La Rochelle to win this. I hate to say it. I just think at home, Atlantic Coast, huge pack, lovely manner of playing. I love watching
Demaru.
I love him.
And Ihaya West as well.
Yeah, they've got some real weapons. I think if Sale can score early and carry on scoring, it's going to be a really interesting game. But if they get a little bit put off by the atmosphere, an early try.
They absolutely pumped. Who was it that went there?
Bristol. Yeah. They absolutely hammered them. And actually, Bristol aren't a bad comparison to Sale in terms of they will carry on attacking with nice wide shape, and it didn't really affect La Rochelle whatsoever. I think Sale's attack is a little bit cleverer, but we will see.
Yeah, the difference is, so 2 years ago, La Rochelle lost in the semi-final at home. They bottled it to Gloucester. It was really the first time they'd ever got to that sort of situation. They were doing really well in the French League. Last year, they got to a Champions Cup quarter-final. I think they'll go one better this time. But Sale, I think, have got what they've got it in them to win this.
Yeah, I mean, the Sale's big advantage will be their back row. A big, fit back row.
Well, really? As I say, you've got Victor Vito.
Yeah, but the difference is, Tim, they're all carriers. So, like, if you look at what they
Victor
do...
Victor Vito can do everything. Well, he's not, athletic.
Well, hang on a minute. Victor
they've
Vito.
Got Bottier off the bench as well.
Again, great carrier. You know, they're all good going forward. I think the extra bit of steel that Sale have might give them... I don't know what I'm talking about. I think La Rochelle are going to win this. That's what I think.
Yes.
I think La Rochelle are going to win. Mm-hmm. I think it's a tough ask for Sale to go over and win there.
An even tougher ask for Quins to go to Clermont.
Yeah.
Quins are not winning this.
No.
I can tell you that now. They'll have a good go at it. They're not going to win this.
Well, if they showed up with the same team they showed up to with the AJ Bell.
2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. It's just not enough. There's not enough firepower there. Not even close.
Yeah. Clermont. We'll win this at a canter.
Did you see what Clermont did to the Northampton scrum?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
With Bonjamon, Kezer, and Slimani, Falgu. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, they're enormous.
I just can't wait to see Raka again and Peno.
Peno.
Oh, I love Peno. Parra and Lopez. It's great.
Laidlaw.
I mean, yeah.
Is Benders anywhere near the team?
I've seen him a couple of times. He's been in the team. I don't look at that squad. I'm just looking now. That was a few weeks ago. Yeah, Bender's playing 15 with Pinoda and Raka.
This makes no sense. I mean, I know we spoke about something very similar last week. Listen to these names, okay? Obviously, Kayser's in.
Bonjamon.
Vomahina. Iratira. Para. Lopez. Lamarat. Pinoda. I mean, these are seriously, seriously good players. And they're amazing for Clermont. Why are France bad? Why are France bad? Because these guys are going to go out and I think they're going to absolutely batter Quins.
Oh!
Yeah.
Did you see the result? I know it came up in our quiz earlier. I've only just seen the result of...
The 31-all.
31-all.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Tim Lally-Williams so is
gonna
a damn good team.
An all-French final.
I think it is.
In the Challenge Cup, yeah. It's the most likely.
And they have the wonder of Newcastle.
Yes.
The Wonder, indeed. Well, that's not actually... It's better than Coventry. It's substantially better than Coventry.
It's a better night out than Coventry.
Yeah.
Just avoid the... Whatever way that I end up, the
interesting. Yes, go on.
What was it called? Oh, I can't remember what it's called in Newcastle.
Oh, Glitter and Lasers.
It had a cage in it, and it was called... I can't remember what it was called.
Mr. Fisters.
Yeah, that. Just call it that. Don't go in the place. If you go in somewhere and you see a cage, just walk back out.
Right, on to Sunday's game.
Oh, here we go.
Sunday's game. This is interesting. So this is a repeat of the group stage, or the two group stage games, which was one apiece.
Yeah.
It is Leinster at the Aviva Stadium hosting Toulouse.
Yes.
Hosting the magnificent Toulouse that even though they had their fly half sent off after 28 minutes, they still managed to win away at Racing.
Wow. This is going to be... I hope it lives up. Because the Toulouse-Racing game lived up to the billing totally. I really hope this does.
Yeah.
Because it's the only... It's the one big Sunday roast of a game we've got on Sunday. Just in terms of the back lines... I'm just trying to wonder what Leinsterman goes into the Toulouse side. Sorry.
Well, you could make an argument for a lot of them. I mean, really quite a lot of them.
You'd have Colby over Lama, or you'd have Colby continues
at fullback. Goodness me, I don't know about that. I mean, you have them both, or yeah, you substitute one for the
similar.
Other.
They're very similar players, aren't they?
Lama and Colby and one other.
Lama and Colby in a team is a little bit like when Newcastle signed Asprilla. It was just a little bit too much.
So would you go, is Carney going to be fit? Would you go Carney? You've got James Lowe as well.
Yeah. You absolutely go with Carney because he's tried and tested. This is the sort of game you have to play Carney in. But actually, I think Leinster, you know, to answer your question, they go for, a lot of their guys get in the team. Zach Holmes isn't a player of any, great stature, really. I mean, he's played a handful of clubs.
DuPont.
DuPont's excellent.
DuPont. DuPont starts in any team. Brilliant.
Yeah. It's going to be more down to the pack. Charlie Farmina is one of my favourite props. I love his carrying work. I think Toulouse, if they play like Toulouse did in Racing, could potentially give Leinster problems. But Leinster are going to be too organised. That would be my guess. Two seasoned, too organised.
They're going to suffocate them.
Yeah. It sounds weird if you said this a few years ago. You might say that Toulouse are the seasoned European veterans with their four wins or five wins or whatever it is.
You are talking 10 years ago at least. Yeah.
The one factor here is Johnny Sexton.
Fit or not fit,
and even if he is fit, he's not been playing well.
He hasn't. Since he won in Monaco, won World Player of the Year, he's actually not played that well.
Since he lost his voice and couldn't give us an interview.
Yeah.
So, there you go. It's chickens have come home to roost, Johnny.
So for all players playing, if you win World Player of the Year, come and get interviewed by us.
Yeah, yes, do. Because if you lesson. Don't... Who was it last year?
Bowden
Barrett.
He came to
he's got a tie and everything. And look, he's just gone from strength to strength.
He's got an egg chaser's tie. We had an egg chaser's tie for you, Johnny, and you just blanked us. but what I find is interesting is the number of journalists... Irish journalists,
okay.
and people on Twitter.
Go on.
And people on Twitter.
Go on.
There you go.
You queued me up and I missed it.
Arguing that people are targeting Johnny Sexton. They're trying to make excuses for him not playing as well. People are targeting him. It's like, is there a fly half that plays in any game, at any level, that doesn't get targeted?
Yeah, can I just point out, they're 100% right. They're 100% right.
Of course they are, but that's every fly half in any team.
Yeah. But they're 100% right as well.
Yes, they are, but I just
there's
want
no
to,
difference between I want them to him stop this, and anyone else.
I wanted to stop this shtick of trying to make excuses for him not playing as well
no,
as he
does. Do you know what?
And trying to suggest that he needs to be... people need to take it easy on him.
Like he's a quarterback.
Yeah.
Do you not remember in about 2014 when Bismarck Duplessis put in a massive legitimate legal hit on Dan Carter, injured Dan Carter, immediate red card.
Yeah.
Of course, you can't hit Dan Carter, you can't hit Johnny Sexton.
Ridiculous. So, The problem with flying halves in general, especially these big national names, international names even, right, is that people put onto them what they imagine they are. I know this because I'm a frequent critic of one
Owen Farrell,
right? And people go insane. They can't control their emotions, their feelings. They sort of foaming at the mouth. If you criticise Owen Farrell, because Owen Farrell isn't a player that they rationally look at and say, oh yeah, he's good at this and bad at that. He's the embodiment of everything that they hope a player will be. And same with the way
that you are with Danny Cipriani.
Yeah, so like last week when I suggested that Danny Cipriani might have passed into Jack O'Creel's head.
No, you didn't suggest that, but actually, if that did happen, as you say, it might have. Jack O'Creel is obviously running the wrong line. He's obviously running the wrong line. He doesn't make mistakes like that. Danny Cipriani does not make mistakes like that. People do not understand why their fly half does not play well, and they need to start making excuses for him. Because your biggest fear as an international rugby fan is that your fly half isn't up to it. No one wants to admit that.
And I'm not suggesting for 1 minute that Johnny Sexton isn't. I'm suggesting.
But you are suggesting Owen Farrell isn't, yeah?
No, absolutely not. I am suggesting that the way that journalists are trying to suggest that Johnny Sexton is being badly treated.
He's been badly treated, though, isn't he?
Well, like, yeah, in the sense that you'd go out and go, if we stop Johnny Sexton, we can stop this team playing.
And if you look like how teams play against them, they do. You know, there's late shots here and there.
Yeah, smash him.
They're always trying to. You know, like that, same with Owen Farrell to some degree. Owen Farrell handles it better, I think. No, he doesn't. Does he? They're both equally as petulant. They're definitely equally as petulant. Owen Farrell likes to dish out a little bit more, so it looks like it's not affecting him as much. It affects Owen Farrell differently because he then goes and loses his head later in the actual game. Whereas Johnny seems to chirp up a little bit more.
But I don't think the Johnny chirping up is anything to do with him getting hit. He actually takes the ball to the line in order to create space for other people.
Yeah.
So he knows he's putting the body on the line. Where I see Johnny Sexton getting mouthy in like the Wales game is just where it's going wrong for him for other reasons. So it's not that he was getting smashed, it's just he was trying things and it wasn't coming off and he was getting more and more frustrated.
David Flatman has an interesting view on fly halves, which I absolutely love actually.
Go on.
Which is when asked who are the toughest players in rugby, he often names George Ford. Because George Ford gets smashed voluntarily because he runs so flat to the line.
To create gaps for other people.
Yeah, because he's not a big bloke. In fact, some of these guys are tiny. Yeah. Like, George Ford is tiny.
He's not a big bloke at all.
And he gets absolutely levelled all the time. So the fly-offs are actually pretty tough.
Yeah.
For that exact reason.
Did you see Chris Boyd's comments on Dan Bigger?
Yeah, one of the best in the world at a few things.
No. The comment, he said he's the most competitive player he's ever coached. Alongside TJ Perenara.
Is that right?
Yeah. Describe those two as being the most competitive.
I'm sure he didn't say in that interview like he's the best player I've ever had in a handful of things. Like he said, like he can the way he can kick a ball and stuff like that.
He may well have said that as a separate or another part of the interview.
So obviously my confirmation bias focused on those bits.
On that, not the ultra competitive bit.
But yeah, that sort of goes with it as well. Yeah.
I'm going to say, I don't think Leinster will select this, but if Leinster select the back line they select against Ulster, they're losing this game. Because their back line was McGrath, Ross Byrne, Dave Carney, O'Loughlin, Ringrose, Adam Byrne, Jordan Lama. They're not winning with that back line.
They're not going to put that out, though, are they, surely?
No, Henshaw's available, Johnny Sexton, available,
James Lowe.
Rob Carney, James Lowe, maybe.
Yeah.
So they need to... The pack got no doubts they're going to mix it up and be dominant and nasty.
Dominant? They're going to be nasty. Will they be dominant or not? Jerome Kano is no joke.
Oh, mate. It's an Irish international pack with a couple of extras.
Yeah, but it's also Jerome Kano and his mates.
Although no Dan Levy, obviously.
Yeah, that is a real shame because he's only just come back.
And you would think he would have slotted in place of Reece Ruddock in that back line, in the back row.
Yeah.
But that's a pretty nasty looking... Gnarly looking pack.
The Aviva, I'm still going to say Leinster by 10.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
I think you're right, so long as they select. As long as they have them available.
All right, so I'm going to ask you some different questions, okay? Not what do you think would happen, what would you like to happen in each of these games?
So part of me wants the Leinster Saracens rematch.
Yep.
It's interesting, when we spoke to Rob Carney last year at the World Rugby Player of the Year Awards, and I was asking him about kind of the best performances that year. Was it Ireland winning? Was it them hammering England at Twickenham? Was it winning away in Australia? Was it beating the All Blacks? And he referenced the Saracens game, because he said that was what, that's the team that Leinster have been measuring themselves against, because they've been beaten by them in the past. So I think that there is something about it. They're the best two teams in Europe for the past few years, multiple years. And I'd like to see that as a final, because I think there's real spice, real history. You've got layered onto it the last 4 or 5 years of the England-Ireland history, where there's been some massive games in the Six Nations, and
it'll
a lot
be
of the players
on English soil.
Yeah,
so I definitely want Saracens to go. I want them to give. I'd like them to give Munster a good hiding out. Actually, in the other semi-final, I would love to fall in love with rugby again and watch Toulouse just play 15-man offloading.
That would be
fluid
exciting.
Rugby. That's what I want.
That would be brilliantly exciting if it happened. And I always love an underdog.
Yeah, and then Toulouse to do the same to Saracens in the final.
And Toulouse to win it.
Yeah, Toulouse to fire all their coaches the week before the finals.
That like would that. Be an amazing final, because, having said earlier, Saracens are so comfortable without the ball. They're playing one of the teams you don't want to give too much ball
to. Yeah.
Yes. DuPont weaving his magic everywhere.
Yeah.
Some kid which they pulled off the street, who was, working at the Airbus factory and eating Toulouse sausages, doing those offloads.
No. Developed. Oh, I see. I thought you were talking about DuPont. Because I was going to say, that would be a disservice to Cast, who brought him
through. No. Who's the winger? They literally,
the winger.
Talzan.
Uge, so greasy, slipped into a concrete wall, injured himself.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden it's on.
Yeah, Talzan.
So DuPont was from where?
Cast.
He's been playing at Toulouse since he's 18.
No.
Yeah, he has. Because he played against Sale as an 18-year-old.
He's only 21, isn't he?
Yeah, so he might have been at Cast, but then came over.
He was very young. I worked on a Leinster Cast game and had a long chat with Joel Abd about him. And he was in the first team making his...
So he's 22 now. From 2014, when he was just 18, he was at Cast until 2017, when he went to Toulouse.
So when did he go? 18, 19?
2 years ago, 20. Age 20.
He's 22 now?
Yeah.
Oh, he's older than I thought. Right, okay, fine. And in the Challenge Cup, just as a neutral, I think I'd like to see rugby get a real foothold in the Northwest again. So Sale obviously to win.
That's a total neutral.
Yeah, and then to go on and to beat Claremont as well.
Sale to hammer Claremont by 50 points. As a neutral, would you like to see that?
As a neutral, I think it's important for rugby in the Northwest.
Yeah.
I'd like to see an all-French Challenge Cup final. And
why?
Just because they're... The rugby they play.
You want to see Rob Shaw lift a trophy to get that final seat on the World Cup for his redemption story, Tim?
That, actually, now you put it like that, yes. Yes. I would
We
like
back
that.
Ourselves at home, all that nonsense.
Absolutely.
And I actually want to see Saracens Leinster.
Yeah, I want to see Saracens. I don't know. No, I want to see Saracens Leinster, but not as much as I want to see Toulouse win.
Would it not be nice to see a Leinster Munster final?
No, it would not be nice to see a Leinster-Munster final. No, it would not.
And actually, so Leinster and Toulouse, they've both won it 4 times, haven't they?
Have they?
I think I'm right in saying that.
Saracens 2 and those 2, 4.
And Toulon 3.
Yeah.
I didn't realise Saracens only won it twice. I thought they'd won it 3 times.
I'm just going to... Wins by club. Toulouse, Leinster 4, Toulon 3. Oh, so here you go. There's 4 teams on 2 wins. Saracens are one of them.
Tigers and Wasps.
Tigers, Wasps.
Saracens, one more.
Birrits?
No, they haven't won it. Bath have only won it once. Northampton have only won it once.
Huh. What a good question.
Claremont haven't.
Claremont 0. Runner-up 3 times for Claremont.
Agony.
Racing or Stad haven't got anywhere near.
You'll kick yourselves.
Well, hang on. There's only 3 nations that have won it. Harlequins, Gloucester. It's got to be an English club, right?
He's not saying anything.
Wasps. We said Wasps, we said Leicester, we said Saracens.
You've said Bath, you said Northampton.
Okay.
We both won it once.
So then it's got to be French. Not Biarritz.
Biarritz, finalist twice, never won it.
You said Munster.
You not said Munster.
Oh, Munster.
Munster won it twice. Runners up twice as well. So Toulouse have been in six finals.
Wow.
That's the most. Leicester, second most. Leicester, five finals.
They lost, yeah, they lost some.
Oh, God, they've dropped a long way, haven't they?
Leinster, oh, my word. Leinster, four finals, four wins.
Wow.
Toulon, three finals, three wins.
So we watched the, I say we, as if we did it the other week. We actually rewatched the Leinster-Northampton match not so long ago. Incredible game. Incredible.
That
should have been so Northampton's game as well. Northampton were the best version of Northampton. And they were hammering them.
Yeah. Comfortably winning at half-time.
Mm. Right.
Johnny Sexton turned it around.
Okay, let's leave it there. We're done.
Right, so we'll have a proper pod coming tomorrow. Well, as proper as it can be with two shells of human beings working off their Negronis whilst podcasting.
Exactly.
Thank you very much for listening and for bearing with us. And we'll see you tomorrow.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.